Bibles as we read our text for this morning, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Remain standing if you would. Ephesians 6:12, and by the way, this morning I'm going to give you probably quite a bit of information, but this is review. We've gone through this before at the beginning of the year, and so as a review, I'm going to add some things on to that. But I do trust that the information that we give you will be able to sink in and get more of a feel for what's going on today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren," we just sang about that, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." This is our text that we're talking about this morning, verse 12. Say it with me. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And so Paul's encouragement is then verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." It's provided, it's free. "That you may be able to withstand." The devil's going to hit you in the front. And then it says, "and in the evil day, having done all to stand," he's going to hit you from behind. And so you've got to be able to withstand and to stand. And then Paul's last two words there in verse 14, before finishing the verse, says, "stand therefore." Father, bless now as we look at the review material. And Lord, the encouragement that Paul gives to the believers at Ephesus. Lord, not just to them alone, but to us as well. That we're in a battle and that we need to stand. Not only should we stand, but according to verse 13, we need to withstand. Lord, may our ears be open and attentive. Satan would love nothing more than to lull us to sleep on such a vital and important verse, knowing that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. And God, I pray that as we look at the Word of God today, Satan might be revealed for who and what he really is, a deceiver, a liar, a schemer, a trickster. Lord, you stand for truth. And help us to recognize and realize we can only stand against his wiles as we stand fully clothed in the armor of God. Lord, I pray there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here under the sound of my voice this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. You'd speak to that man, that woman, that boy or girl, and they would sense their need for Jesus Christ. And they might be gloriously born again and saved by the power of God. Work in us today. Holy Spirit, anoint our hearts, anoint our ears, open them. May we leave here differently than when we came in. And when it's all said and done, may we say it's been good to be in the house of God. Change our lives, Lord. Encourage us. Help us to understand the victory that is won for us already. And help us to walk in it. Thank you for loving us. Minister in the children's area and in here. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Miss Tony has a special for us this morning. Miss Tony.
The sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even if this road of life has led you to a heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well.
Thank you, Tony. Even in the valley, God is good. By the way, all of us will have our valley situations in life, amen, when things don't go quite the way you want them to go. But you know, even in the valley, God is good, amen. And it's good to know that, praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad you're here today. I mentioned last week that as we look at this review of verses 10 down through 17 or 18, I should say, the most important verse is verse number 12. Because verse number 12 tells us where the real battle lies. We looked at the definition of stand and withstand. We have our theme for the year, be able to stand, be able to withstand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And our theme has been stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. And if you have not already figured it out, we're in a battle. You go to work tomorrow, there's going to be a battle of wills, a battle of ideals, a battle of logic. There's going to be a battle with the flesh. There's going to be a battle maybe with your children, or battle with your spouse, or a battle with relatives, a battle with the boss or the subordinates. But there is going to be a battle. As long as we're in this body, there's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. And as we look at verse number 12 today, I want to catch us up to where we've been thus far. Verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, up to this point, Paul has given the Ephesian brethren all the spiritual training needed to succeed in the Christian life, and he now begins to encourage them to stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. We saw that chapters 1, 2, and 3 detail our beliefs, or what we believe in. It's our wealth in Christ. By the way, if you don't believe in something, amen, you'll fall for everything. Amen. And so I've got to have a belief, and my belief needs to be in the Word of God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot of things you can believe in out there, but only one thing is going to change you eternally, and that is the Word of God. And so Paul says in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he details our beliefs, or our wealth in Christ, what we have and why we can stand. Then verses 4, chapters 4 through 6, and stopping at verse 9, he details our behavior, or the Christian's walk in Christ, and how they should stand. Or how you and I can stand. Notice what he says down there. Well, I won't read that. Amen. We've already covered that. Then we come over to chapter 6 and verse number 10. Paul details our battle, or our wardrobe in Christ, and how we should now stand and withstand. And so in verse number 10, he says this, finally, my brethren. There was a final call there to the brethren. And then he said, there's a firm caution. Be strong in the Lord. Never be strong in your own power. Never be strong in your own might. And then he said, there's a fixed concern in the power of his might. Then we saw in verse 11, there's an action required with this armor. He says, put on the whole armor. We saw it's an affordable range with this armor. It's of God. And then we saw it's an anticipated result with this armor, that you may be able to stand. And then we saw there's an adversary to resist with this armor. It's against the wiles of the devil. By the way, say, preacher, why do we need to stand against the wiles of the devil? Because wiles means he's a deceiver. He's a trickster. He's lying in wait to catch you. And I gave you several things about the devil last week. And let me give you these. The wiles of the devil. He's so crafty. And so you and I have to be clothed with this armor. His nature is that he is a liar and a murderer. He's an adversary. That means he's against us. By the way, the devil is against you. But my Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
Not only is he an adversary, he's the God of this age. He's blinding people at this very moment against the truth of the word of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, lest they believe the glorious gospel. He's a deceiver. He's the ruler of this world. He's a destroyer. Abaddon is what he's called, destruction. He's a counterfeiter of God. He makes himself the God of this world. And by the way, he is. Many worship him because gods are worshipped, and many worship Satan knowingly and unknowingly. The word Satan means adversary. Devil means slander or accuser. What does he do? What is his works? He is deceiving minds. He snatches away God's word when you hear it and don't put it to use. Somebody say amen. His job is to snatch it away. You read Matthew in the parable of the sower. It's snatching the word of God away.
Yes, sir, he is.
He attacks your body. Ask Job about that. He wants to control your will. Ask Peter about that. Destroy your possessions. Ask Job about that. He wants to hinder your work for the Lord. Ask Paul about that. He wants to make you proud. Hey, you can be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, but that doesn't make you proud. That means he gets the glory because it's his power and it's his might. But he wants to make you proud. He wants to cause persecution in your life. He wants to tempt you to sin. By the way, he can tempt you to sin. He cannot make you sin. He can't make you sin. By the way, nobody else can make you sin either. The devil made me do it, Flip Wilson said. No. The devil can't make you do anything. He can entice you and solicit you, but he can't lift your hand. He can't move your tongue. He can't wag that little old thing. He can't get these ears to working. He can't do any of that.
No, he can't.
When you have sinned, he is there to accuse you and discourage you. How was he defeated? Praise God. Jesus in his life, his death, and his burial, his resurrection, and ascension defeated Satan and his evil hosts at the cross. Amen. Hey, we have been redeemed. We have been set free. Our chains are broken. Our bonds are gone. We have been set free. The truth shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Bible says, the Son therefore shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Hey, but you got to know it first. You got to know it first. He's blinding minds so that people don't know the truth. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Satan wants to blind minds to that truth. He was defeated at the cross. You and I, as God's people, must recognize the devil, know when he's at work. We must respect him because he is powerful, not poke fun at him. And we must resist him with the word of God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, friend, you get close to Almighty God, and I tell you what, the devil don't want any parts with that.
No, he doesn't.
The closer you get to Almighty God, the devil says, I think I'll just keep my distance. Mm-hmm. Why? He's been with God before. He knows what God can do. And he knows what God is going to do.
Yes, sir, he does.
And so the devil keeps his distance from God. And so the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We misquote that all the time. Well, you know, resist the devil and he will flee from you. No, you better submit yourself to God. You can try to resist all you want to, but the devil knows your number. But you go to God and God will say, wrong number. Amen. That number has been disconnected. resisting with the word of God, the believer must wear the whole armor of God. And so Paul says, because of the wiles of the devil, because of his tricks, because of his schemes, because of who he is, because of what he does, because of where he goes, because of what he has, because of what he is seeking to do, you and I need to beware and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You and I need to put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan is very, very slick. You and I never have been, nor never will be, a match for Satan. We give Satan strongholds and footholds when we have lust in our lives and lying and anger and stealing, corrupt speech, evil speaking, unforgiving spirit, bitterness, malice, and so forth. Any sinful thing that belonged to our old life can be used by the devil to ruin your new life, or to be sure to keep your heart clean before the Lord, because the devil knows he has but a short time.
That's right, Pastor.
He knows. The handwriting on the wall. He doesn't know it all. But he knows his end result. And he's trying to take as many down with him as he can. As long as God doesn't get the glory, that's all Satan wants. Because if God's not glory, getting the glory by default, guess who gets it? You guessed it.
That's right.
Satan. For everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit. And so Paul behooves the Christians here, and he says, hey, look, I want you to beware, because you're fighting a battle of that is not won except by having the armor of God on. I'm going to share some things with you here over the next several moments that I trust will be a blessing to you and an encouragement. Number one, one of the first things that Paul lets them know is that there is a battle going on, and the battle that we, in this battle, we need to stand against this contest of evil. Notice verse number 12 again, for we wrestle. You know, wrestling, I showed you before, is when one person takes another person. Say, if I was wrestling Joshua. I'm not going to wrestle Joshua.
Yeah.
But if I was wrestling Joshua, my goal would be to get Joshua down on the ground, to pin him down. And guess what? On his back, he is of no use. The only thing he can do is cry. Boo hoo hoo. Somebody help me. And before Joshua got in this position, he should have cried in this position. And he should have said, I need the armor of God to protect me from getting in that position.
Yes,
we wrestle. We wrestle. Three words. For we wrestle. Say that with me. For we wrestle. For we wrestle. Say it again. For we wrestle. We're wrestling right now. Some of you are wrestling to pay attention. Some of you are wrestling to stay awake. Some of you are wrestling to keep your mind on what I'm saying. We wrestle. We wrestle. This is a contest of evil, for we wrestle. What is the goal? The goal is to put us on our back so that we are of no use to God. Wrestle means to take part in a fight that involves grappling with one's opponent and trying to throw or force them to the ground. Our biggest wrestling match is against our fleshly carnal mind. Somebody say amen. We have so much junk up here, so much garbage up here, so much filthiness up here that I've got to sift through it just to do the will of God. Amen. Our biggest wrestling match is right here. Am I going to obey the will of God or my own will? That's the biggest wrestling match right here. We wrestle. This is an activity that none of us signed up for. But when we got saved, we got put in the battle to be a soldier of the cross. By the way, we must battle. Not to battle is to lose with all the resources necessary to win. To lose. I've got all the resources. God said, be strong in the Lord. I put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers of this world, against let me read it. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to do what? Withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. So my Bible tells me that you and I have the capability to win. Amen. God is not going to send you out to battle to lose. It's not in his nature. By the way, God never loses. Somebody say amen. God never loses. You say, well, but I seem to experience defeat. Then you didn't utilize what God gave you. David would have experienced defeat too if he had not went in there with that little rock and depended on God. Amen. So there's a contest of evil. We wrestle. The biggest wrestling match is in our minds. Now you think about it. It all started in the Garden of Eden. Eve had to wrestle in her mind against what the devil told her to do as opposed to what God had already told her to do. And she had to wrestle with that, and she saw that the fruit was good. She said, it's a tree to be desired to make one wise. It seems to be good for food. And she had to wrestle with that concept. And you know what she did? She was deceived. She was deceived. She wrestled in her mind, and she lost. Adam came along, and guess what? The Bible says Adam, being not deceived, was in the transgression. So what happened to Adam? He just flat out disobeyed. And may I submit something to you, Christian? You and I wrestle every day with whether or not we're going to be deceived or whether we're just going to flat out disobey. We wrestle with that every day. Am I just going to out and out disobey what God said? I know what God said. Am I going to do it like Adam or not do it? Or am I going to be deceived like Eve? Because devil uses those basic two tricks.
Yes, sir, he does.
If he doesn't deceive you, he causes you to disobey. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Hey, let's put it another way. Your child goes out with some friends, and your friends are the wrong crowd. And those friends that your child goes out with either are going to tell that child to disobey your orders or to deceive them into thinking that what they're telling them is better than what you have already told them. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And the devil works the same way. He's going to deceive you by telling you something that you really do want to do, and this is the way you can possibly get away with it. Or he's just going to say, well, just do it. Just do it. Y'all thought Nike got that first. Just do it, right? Devil got that a long time ago. Just do it. Just do it. And so this is a contest of evil, for we wrestle. Well, this is a contest of evil. This battle that we need to stand against is a concealment of evil. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, wrestling is not with each other, but with the forces of evil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our enemies are not people. We must see people, see beyond people. Satan may use people to persecute us, lie to us, cheat us, hurt us, or even kill us. But our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world. Satan moves people. He puts people in positions, and he makes people pawns. And he puts on your mind and your heart things to do. He's moving people as pawns. He's on the chessboard of time. As long as we see people as our enemies and wrestle against them, we'll spend our time and our strength in vain. Because you cannot fight the devil when you're fighting someone else. Amen. Husbands fight against wives, wrong enemy. Children fighting against parents, wrong enemy. Co-workers fighting against the boss, wrong enemy. Now, I'm not saying they're righteous in what they do, but I'm just saying we're fighting against the wrong enemy. It's the wrong enemy. Friends fighting against friends, wrong enemy. You know where Satan likes to set up camp most? In the church. Because the church is where I should get my marching orders. The church is where I'm warned about Satan. The church is the place. And so if I can get me fighting against this half, against that half, then he's won already. If he can get me warring in my mind and getting me deceived, he's won already. If he can get me to disobey in my mind and the church, he's won already. Amen. Folks, I'm saying this verse 12, is the most pivotal key bit of information as to why you and I need this armor. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We cannot do it on our own. This is no ordinary battle. This is a greater arena than you and I can see. Certainly, the devil uses wicked people. He allows us to hear evil things they say and feel the hurts that they inflict upon us. Our people are involved, but they are not the real problem. Yes, they do wicked things. I'm not discounting that. But it's not them. If there was no devil, there would be no sin. Amen. What am I saying? This battle that we need to stand against is a contest of evil we wrestle. It's a concealment of evil. It's not against flesh and blood. The devil has blinded the eyes of many down through the ages. Concealment means the action of hiding something or preventing something from being known. I love my little cartoons, and I watch Tom and Jerry. And Jerry found some invisible ink and wreaked havoc on Tom. And Tom thought he was going crazy. And it was the invisible ink, and it was Jerry all along. And the thing that I like most about it, towards the end, Jerry got found out. The invisible ink got washed off. And Tom could see him. And Tom bonked him on the head. And he thought he was invisible. And Tom bonked him again. He happened to look and showed him a mirror. He said, "You're not invisible." And he whacked him. By the way, folks, the devil may be invisible. We can see him through the Word of God. We can let Jesus Christ bonk him across the head like Tom did Jerry. We can follow the Word of God and say, although you may be visible, and although I can't see you, I can't fight something that I can't see, but I've got a God who I can't see that can fight you whom I cannot see. And you let God fight the battle. And God said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hey, the people that hurt you or inflict pain upon you, they may not be your friend, but they're not your enemy either. Saved or lost, it matters not. Seeing that we have an invisible foe, we need to have an invisible force to fight for us, a holy God and His Holy Spirit and His holy angels. Hallelujah. Number three. Not only is this a concealment of evil and a contest of evil, it is a community of evil. He says, but against, and he begins to let you know this community of evil. This community of evil demons is concealed and in sync. A community is often a group of people that live in the same area and have characteristics in common, whether it's pay level or pay grade or occupation. These are invisible instigators. And by the way, I used this illustration last time. I'll use it again. Remember those old schoolyard fights that we used to have? When the two people really didn't want to fight anyway? Come here, G2, Joshua. Y'all remember that? I remember them just as clear as day. You get two folks together, and they're about nose to nose, smelling each other's breath. But they're not touching each other, but they nose to nose. Sometimes they'll even touch shoulders. Y'all know how they used to go around in circles? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And they just, and they're not going to fight. And what are we saying in the background, the worldly kids? Fight, 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 fight. And they're just like, come on, come on. Come on, come on. And we said, fight, 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 fight. Come on. These invisible instigators are doing that. Fight, fight, fight. You gonna let them talk about you like that? You gonna let them talk about your basketball game like that? You gonna let them talk about Steph Curry like that? They instigate. And then before long, what does somebody come in there and do? They push the one into the other one. And what do they start doing? Start fighting. Somebody comes along and says, boom, and push them, and then they go, bop, 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 because they really didn't want to fight anyway, whether they were cowardly or whatever. And so that's why they go around, no, no, hit me, hit me. And then somebody says, I'm tired of this, I'll hit you. And boom, they push them, and they start fighting. Y'all seen that before? Y'all did that before, probably. Either y'all was in this middle area, or you was on the outside saying, fight, fight, fight. Jerry's laughing. Amen. You was in one or the other. They are invisible instigators. This community of evil, their job is to instigate you, to incite you, to get you to do the wrong thing. All right, y'all sit down. Thank you. I appreciate that. Joshua said, I really want the box, Dad. Come on now. What am I saying? They're invisible instigators. Their job is to incite you toward evil, toward doing something evil, or to bring about evil in your life. The devil said to Eve, yea, hath God said. They can't do evil for you, but they can encourage you to do it. So who are they? Who are these demons, this community of evil? Well, first of all, they are designated demons of evil. Principalities is the word. Principalities is the word. Paul lists this distinct satanic order amongst whom we are wrestling in spiritual warfare, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the wickedness in high places. These are hosts of spirit beings in the unseen world that you and I cannot see them unless they choose to be seen. By the way, if someone tells you they saw a demon or an evil spirit, they might have. Because they can manifest themselves to you. You say, oh, preacher, I thought that was only in Hollywood. Where do you think Hollywood got it from? That's real. Now, I'm not saying that everybody sees. Some folks just get on psychotic trips with drugs. In my BC days, I remember getting some bad drugs before, and I saw all sorts of things. So sometimes it's make-believe, and sometimes it's real. But you know what? The way Satan gets in, sometimes through drugs, sometimes through alcohol, believe it or not, sometimes anger, sometimes bitterness, sometimes unforgiveness. What am I saying? This is organized evil. These are designated demons of evil. Principalities is the first one that Paul talks about here. And by the way, when Lucifer fell, he took a host of angels with him. He is still only one, but he still has a host of others. And although he's a fallen angel, a fallen fiend, he's still powerful. He's still the God of this world. He's still the prince of this world. He's still the prince of the power of the air. And he still is just as deceptive as he has always been. And if he can fool Eve and her innocence, guess what he can do to you and I and our fallen minds? Principalities is the first word. Principalities are like sheriffs. How many of y'all like seeing sheriffs around? I do. Because they help keep the peace. You don't like seeing them because you're speeding. You don't like seeing them, amen. I don't like seeing them, amen. Hey, if I'm doing right, I love seeing them. I'll see the cops on the road. I have a walk that I walk down all the time. They'll be on the side, pulled off where nobody can see them. And I'll go and give them a thumbs up. I'm not driving now. I'm walking. You can't give me no ticket. And I'll say, thanks for keeping the speed limit down.
Amen,
until I get out there, and then I don't say that. Amen. What am I saying? Principalities. They're like sheriffs. The word is chief ruler or magistrates, high-ranking governing authorities under Satan's control. They're often assigned to national and civic leaders or people in the top because they sit at the top of Satan's hierarchy. They, too, know what it's like. And so principalities, they're the chief rulers. They're at the top. And you and I can't see them. How many of y'all think that Donald Trump has one assigned to him? Probably has several. The higher you get in authority, the more demons are assigned to you to take you down. But I'm so glad God still had guardian angels over us. Principalities are like the sheriffs, and they help keep the peace for us on that side. On the devil's side, they help disturb the peace. Principalities means chief in order, time, place, or rank. A ranking structure of leadership, like our military has a commander in chief, and it goes down from there. Daniel in Daniel 10:20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And this is the angel. And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. That's the demon. When I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So he said, I've got a prince of Persia and a prince of Grecia. Demons are attached to them. And guess what? I'm an angel. I'm an archangel. And I'm assigned to help keep the peace. So God's hierarchy of angels that he has is fighting against Satan and his angels' hierarchy. And guess what it's for? It's for you and me. It's for the battle of the souls of men and women. Hey, the angels that have not fallen are not going to fall. And the demons that have fallen are forevermore fallen. And these are trying to get, these bad ones are trying to get you and I to worship Satan. The good ones are trying to protect you from that. And so that's why he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Principalities of these designated demons of evil. Then the next one, Paul says, are destructive demons of evil. Powers. Powers. By the way, powers means in the sense of ability. These demons have privilege, they have capacity, they have competency, freedom, mastery. They are superhuman. They have tokens of control, delegated influence or authority, jurisdiction or liberty, power. Satan is powerful.
diabolically clever and tireless, but he is not God. He is a created being. He has none of the attributes of deity. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is full of knowledge and cunning, but he is not. He does not know everything. He makes mistakes. By the way, one of the biggest mistakes he did was inciting men to crucify Jesus. One of the biggest mistakes he could ever make. I know what I'll do. I'll just get rid of that Messiah. I'll get rid of that Jesus. I'll stir up these Jews. Fight, 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 fight. I'll get them stirred up. They'll put him on the cross. They'll kill him. Then that Jesus guy is done. He's done with. Satan can be dumb at sometimes because he knows the Bible. But guess what? He forgot a part. You may put me down, but I'm going to get back up. You may bruise the heel, but I'm going to bruise the head. Hey, you may put me down for a couple days, but it's already been prophesied. I'm using you as a tool as you're inciting these men and stirring them up and trying to get them to crucify the Messiah. You are getting your own demise because I'm redeeming mankind. Hallelujah and praise God. That's you and me. And because of that, we're saved. And so Satan, although he's powerful, he's not almighty. There's only one that has that title. Only one. And so these principalities, these powers, this authority that they have. By the way, let me read this for you. Satan can move swiftly with the ease and freedom of a spirit unencumbered by a physical body. He can be here in one moment and a million miles away the next, but he is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at once. He can only be in one place at a time. That's why he needs principalities. That's why he needs powers. He needs somebody to report back to him, just like we have intelligence in the military. We've got to have this chain of people spread out that are collecting information that bring it back into the CIA, and they farm that stuff back up. Eventually, it gets back up to the president and informs him, hey, the devil is the same way. There's a demon assigned to you. He knows your downsides. He knows your weakness. He knows what your fall is, and he will try to tempt you and incite you. Fight, 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 fight. All the time until you either disobey or until you are deceived. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, folks. This is nothing you can see. We're wrestling against principalities. We're wrestling against powers. Why does the devil have so much delegated power? By the way, let me show you this verse, Luke chapter 4. If you're not there, I'll read it for you. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5. We're in a battle, folks. We're in a battle. Luke chapter 4. And notice verse number 4 and 5. Luke chapter 4. The devil trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, notice this, all this, notice that word, power, will I give thee, and the glory of them. Why, Satan? For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, how much shall be thine? All shall be thine. Satan, you forgot that you're talking to Jesus, who is God. It's all his anyway. And he's trying to get Jesus to circumvent the cross and not do what he wants him to do and worship him. And my friend, when you listen to Satan, you worship him. Amen. Powers, he has it to give. So principalities are like the sheriffs. They're designated demons of evil. The powers, those are destructive demons of evil. By the way, once you get to that point of giving in to the powers, you're on a slippery road. Many people today do not believe in evil spirits. Some may be interested in the occult or fascinated with ghosts and witches and drawn toward the parapsychology, but most scorn the idea that Satan has organized and launched a diabolical plot against the human race. They scoff at the idea that evil spirits, ruthless in their hatred of mankind, are dedicated to keeping people in bondage to sin and shame. People are oblivious to that. A devil couldn't do that. Why would he want to do that? That's what he wants you to believe. Hey, my friend, in case you didn't know it, the devil hates you. Anything that God loves, Satan hates, and God loves you. And because God loves you, you have a target on your back that says, God loves me, shoot me. That's why he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hey, you don't think the devil hates you? When's the last time he did something good for you? For the glory of God. Amen. For the glory of God. The devil is ruthless in his power. We ask, why cannot we halt the drug trade that's destroying countless of lives and damning souls? Why is it so hard to pass laws against drunk driving? Why has sodomy become acceptable in our land and laws passed for it? Why is pornography such a big business still? Why cannot we stomp out child abuse and legalize slaughter of unborn babies at abortion clinics? Why did the horrors of the Nazi prison camps happen and the Spanish Inquisition, as we talked about in Sunday school? Why? Because we have an organized force of evil against us. And they're using men to fulfill their will. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Paul lists another one. These are delegated demons of evil, rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers, cosmocrator is the word, only occurs here in Scripture. It means world rulers. And the beings that the Holy Spirit is exposing. And the phrase, our world rulers of darkness, Satan's master plan for holding the world in subjection, can be summed up in a single word, deception. He keeps people in a state of spiritual, philosophical and religious and political and social and personal blindness. He has created every false religion out there, and his biggest guise in manipulation and deception, my friend, is religion. The guy Pastor White and I talked to yesterday kept saying, well, religion. I said, I'm not interested in religion. He said, well, why not? I said, religion is man's ladder to God. Righteousness is God coming down to sinful man. And God is not interested in our righteousness. He said, all our righteousness is filthy rags for the Lord. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he said, I says, so religion is your way to get up to man. Every time we came up to a point, I said, well, how can I get to heaven right now being a Muslim? Well, you know, you got to do this and that. At one time, he said, I got to learn Arabic. I said, I'm dying tonight. I've got cancer right now. I'm dying right now. What do I need to do? Well, learn Arabic and read the Quran. I'm dying tonight, and I'm going to learn Arabic by tonight. I'm going to make a pilgrimage to Mecca tonight. I said, you got to come up with something better than that. And I just gave him a simple illustration. I said, the Bible says you got to have childlike faith. I said, salvation is full and free because God so loved the world. I said, even a child should be able to accept it. It's going to be kind of hard getting a child to Mecca real quick. It's going to be a hard time trying to get this child to. I said, I'll put two children in front of you. I'll put one child in front of you. And I said, I'll give him your way, and I'll give him God's way, which is Jesus Christ. I said, which one will he take? And he said, well, of course he's going to take that because that's the easy way. Duh. That's why it's called the simple plan of salvation. Jesus paid it all. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus took my beating. He took my battering. He was buried. He rose again. My friend, it's easy, but you got to swallow your wicked pride. No, I didn't tell him that. He told Pastor White, he said, you got to give me proof. I said, I've given you all the proof that I need. I'm not convinced. I said, my job is not to convince you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. If I convince you, you'll be my convert. I don't want you my convert. I want you God's convert. My job is not to convict you. My job is not to convince you. My job is to give you the word of God because there is power in the word of God. Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he left perplexed. He got upset. He called Pastor White and apologized for his behavior. He said, what got him so mad? Because Pastor White said, if I die, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, if I die, I know I'm going to heaven. You can't be sure. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I said, I know. I said, do you? Yeah, I asked. He said, you're trying to say I don't have the Spirit of God. What I say, Pastor White? I said, do you? He stumbled. I said, you answer the question. I don't have to answer that for you. Do you? Bless his heart. Say, Peter, were you being mean? No, I was being forthwith with him. Amen. Up front and honest with heresy and with deception, because the man is clearly deceived, but he has a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And I believe he's truly looking. And I believe God's working on his heart. And I believe God's going to save him if we continue to stick at him. Amen. Now, we're not going to cast our pearls before swine. But I believe if we pray and continue to work, God will work in his life. False religion has destroyed many, many, many countless numbers of lives. Religion never saved anybody. Righteousness will. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And so Satan is involved in these rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers here means these designated demons of evil have satanic influence to steer people into evil. They're unseen and dispatched all over the world. And by the way, let me give you their categories oftentimes. They're involved in the music world. They're involved in the movie world, Hollywood. They're involved in the magazine world. They're involved in the media world. They're involved in, yes, the money world. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. People say, well, it's the money's fault. The money can't make you sin. It's the love of money. And so Satan has these things captivated. He has rulers of darkness on the movie scene, rulers of darkness on the music scene, on the magazine scene, on the media scene, on the money scene. Hey, he's got rulers there to orchestrate your life and my life to pull us in. And whatever your desire is, he'll get you in that. You like your movies, he'll get you in that. You like your music, he'll get you in that. You like your media, he'll get you in that. You like your money, he'll get you in that. You like your magazines, he'll get you in that. He is no dummy. He knows mankind's weaknesses, and he knows what you desire. And Satan has them orchestrated up there. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant against these foes. I want you to understand something here. These are principalities. These are powers. These are rulers of the darkness of this world. They rule darkness. They don't rule light, because men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Yes, Pastor. Jesus said they wouldn't come to the light. These are often sinned against Christians and the church. And then lastly, spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, when you look at rulers of the darkness of this world, religion is the target, because man will worship something. Man has in his heart the capability and the capacity to worship. And man will worship something, and the devil knows it. And so he's going to set up all kind of false demons and false idols to make it seem like they're real. Lastly, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are divisive demons of evil. There are countless demons at work worldwide. The word divisive means causing disagreements or hostility between people. How many domestic violence situations are the cops called on all the time? You know what happened there? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Divisiveness, causing disagreements. They're often sinned against the Christian and the church, because Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. These divisive demons of evil are everywhere, causing disagreement and hostility. The Bible says, brethren, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The devil hates unity. He hates when we band together. He hates when we stand in the cross. He hates when we stand for Christ. He hates that. Why? We're standing in the power of his might, God's might. He hates it. He hates it. Child of God, let me show you what he hates the most. When you and I get on bended knee, and when we start pouring our heart out to Almighty God, he hates that. He hates that. You say, preacher, why does he hate that? He can't reach your minds. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't know all. He can't read your mind. Praise God, he can't. Amen. Because if he could, he'd trip most of us up. But you get on your knees, he doesn't know what you're praying for. He hates to see a Christian praying. He gets scared. Say, preacher, how do you know that? When my wife gets on her knees, I get scared. Amen. I say, oh, what did I do? What didn't I do? What does she want me to do? And I start checking my life, checking myself.
There you go, Pastor.
What didn't I do? Satan doesn't read your mind, so he doesn't know what you're praying for. You can go up and jump up and down and do all this, and you can do your best karate. You can do all that. Put on your boxing gloves. I mean, hey, you can do all that stuff. Satan says, as soon as you get tired, let me know. And then as soon as you do, whap, slap you upside your head, knock your helmet, slap off your head. Punch you in the chest, knock that armor straight off. And by the way, I said before, he can't make you do anything. You have to take it off to spar with him.
That's right, Pastor.
You have to take it off. But when we start praying, Satan doesn't like that. These rulers of the darkness of this world, this spiritual wickedness in high places, they have supernatural unseen plots and ploys of evil. And they are all full of iniquity, crookedness, immorality, ungodliness. And as a result of these things, these divisive demons of evil, spiritual wickedness, these delegated demons of evil, rulers of the darkness of this world, these destructive demons of evil, these powers that are there, these principalities that are there, these high magistrates, these high-ranking demons, they're all there against you and I, and we cannot see them like carbon monoxide and like gas. You cannot see them unless they chose to be seen. Oh, you can see the effects of them in people's lives, but you can't see them. Paul says, wherefore, take unto you then the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand, and having withstand, and having done all to stand. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Paul says, let me warn you. He said, I've given you chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And he said, that's going to be impossible for you to fight against it if you don't have on your armor. And he said, this is the real reason why it's impossible, because you're fighting against something that you cannot see. And if you're by the way, did you know you can't see sin? Do you know you can't see? But you can see the effects of sin. You can see the actions of sin, but you can't see sin. Oh, you can see people committing sin. You can see them doing sin. But you can't see sin. But guess what? The Bible still says the wages of sin is death. You can see death. You can see death. Hey, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, people died. And guess what? There's only one remedy to death. Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're saved here today, you're in a battle. Your job and my job is to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's our job. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. If you're not saved, your job is to get saved. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a devil who hates you. You say, but I'm religious, but I go to church, but I read my Bible. The devil wants you to keep doing that. He just doesn't want you to get saved. But I pray. I prayed all the time before I got saved. But you've got to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Even that Muslim guy that me and Pastor White talked to yesterday can get saved. Even a person like me can get saved. A person like you can get saved. Hey, we're in the battle. The question is, are you winning or are you losing? God's given us all the equipment that we need to be more than conquerors. Folks, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. There's a church in Georgia called Winning Side Baptist Church. Amen. Winning Side. You know, I like that name, but I like Shining Light better. Let's shine the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. If you're not saved today, get saved. Christian, let's stand. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one looking around just for a moment. Father, bless now these next moments. Lord, I know Satan has blinded some minds today. He has blocked out some thoughts from others. He has tried to manipulate this time so that others could not fully focus and concentrate. But Lord, I pray the things that you would have them to hear, they have heard. The things that you would have them to know, they have absorbed. And the things that the Holy Spirit needs to work on their lives, they have listened to and are willing to obey. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for its power. Thank you for its might. Thank you for exposing to us this battle that we're in. Thank you that we understand we're wrestling and we can't see our enemy. But thank you that we have our armor on, we're fully protected. Lord, help us to take it and to stand and withstand in the Lord. Bless down this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, I understand I'm in a battle. I understand I'm in a battle. Pray for me that I can stand. Maybe you need to raise your hand. Pray for me. I'm in a battle. I know I'm in a battle. I need to stand. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. They ought to. You may put them down. I'm going to be honest before God and say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not really 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I won't call you out. I won't pick you. I'll just acknowledge your raised hand. You can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this auditorium. A preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all? Christian, maybe you say, I've not stood the way I needed to stand. These powers, these principalities, these rulers of the darkness of this world trip me up sometime. But I don't aim to stay down. I aim to get back up. Pray for me that I can get back up. Pray for me, preacher. I don't aim to stay down. I'm going to get back up. Amen. Father, bless now these that would like to continue standing. These have fallen and are getting back up. Righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up again. Lord, any soul that's struggling without salvation, without Christ, without knowing if they died, they would go to heaven. Speak to that man, that woman, boy, or girl in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are still bowed. Eyes are closed, no one looking around. As the music plays, maybe God has put something on your heart. Maybe you need to pray for a loved one that is failing in the battle. Would you come and pray for that loved one? Maybe there's a need in your life today, physical need, a spiritual need, educational need. Maybe you would come. Maybe as a Christian, you say, I want to keep standing for God. Would you come? Christians are praying. Or maybe today you'd say, I'm not born again. Folks, the Bible is clear. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Or maybe you need to be born again. Let us take a Bible, show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll get a man to show you. If you're a woman, we'll get a woman to show you. But please don't leave here without having Jesus Christ as your Savior. We are in a battle. It's a real battle. It's an unseen battle. It's a spiritual battle. Christians are praying. How about you today? Do you understand it's a community of evil against you? It's a concealment of evil against you. Do you understand it's a contest of evil? We wrestle. Say, preacher, these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness sounds like rough stuff. It is, but it's not too much for God. God is all powerful. He's almighty. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. Omniscient. He's everywhere. He knows all. Would you let him fight for you today? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh yes, Satan still has access to heaven, but one day he'll be thrown down. He'll be cast into the lake of fire. He'll be tormented forever and ever. You and I will get our glorified bodies. We'll be able to stand in the presence of God. Serve him forever and ever. But until that time, there's a battle. It's a real battle. It's waging. Paul said, Ephesians, I want you to know something. I've given you the word of God. I've given you what you need to stand for. I've given you what you need to stand against. But I need you to stand. But not in your own power. In God's power. Not in your own might. In God's might. Why, Paul, for we wrestle. Not against flesh and blood. Father, thank you. The word of God that clearly exposes to us there is a real battle going on. There's a war being waged against us. They're demonic forces organized and orchestrated by Satan himself. But Lord Jesus, I'm so glad that you have won the victory. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And thank you that there is no weapon formed against us that shall stand. Thank you, Lord, that you have set us on the rock. His name is Jesus. And thank you, you've given us and equipped us with the armor. We just need to put it on. And Lord, thank you that in its protection, we can experience victory day in and day out. But oh God, thank you that when we suffer loss, when we might have given up a battle here or there, thank you that we can fall back on you and ask forgiveness and get right back up and wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God once again. We can stand in light and walk in light. And thank you, Lord, that you have continued to use us in the battle, this unseen battle against the forces of evil. That man, woman, boy, or girl that's hanging in the balance, that's in doubt about their salvation, save them today. Thank you for loving us. And we'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me